Good evening, welcome to tonight's meeting of Bethlehem City Council for Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. Here at 7 p.m. here in Town Hall, we'd all please rise for the invocation by Reverend Madeline Campbell of Unitarian Universalist Church in the Lehigh Valley, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good evening. I'm honored to have been invited to give the invocation this evening as we all serve the same community, you in your elected capacity to govern, and I serve as a spiritual leader here. I was asked to give the invocation this evening, invocation literally calling upon, to petition. In this chamber where you deliberate, where those you serve come to petition you to begin your service to the community by invoking, by calling upon, by petitioning. And isn't that in itself a potent reminder that none among us is prepared to do this work alone? None among us is prepared to shoulder the burdens of service alone. None among us speaks for all without first consulting, listening, working with, perhaps debating from time to time, but always participating fully in the community. So let us now turn our hearts to the holy as each one understands the holy to be. May we lean upon the strong arms of the Holy One in the holy work of serving our community. May we be guided by wisdom, mercy, and kindness in this work. May we be mindful of all we serve in this community and listen especially for the voices that are oftentimes silenced. May this council perform their duties faithfully. I pray in the name of all that is holy.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Reverend Campbell. Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan.
Present.
Mr. Cologne.
Present.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Here.
Ms. Negron.
Present.
Mr. Reynolds.
Present.
Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Mr. Walder.
Present. Prior to this agenda, we have a citation honoring David Bartera. See in attendance this evening. The citation will be mailed to him upon his retirement. Seeking approval for the minutes from September 17th. Any comments from members of the council? Minutes stand approved. And prior to public comment, I'd like to announce that Communication 6A, a rezoning petition for the 2015 City Line Road will be pulled from tonight's agenda at the request of the petitioner. Moving to public comment on any subject not being voted on this evening. We have a few names signed up this evening. First on the list is Barbara Diamond.
Barbara Diamond, 425 Center Street. And I'm reading a Bethlehem moment, a remnant of Bethlehem silk industry. Standing across the street is a building with an interesting story to tell about the early industrial history of Bethlehem. This modest, single-story white house at 26 West Market Street, West Church Street, was once a cocoonery, where silkworms were tended and their mile-long filaments were reeled to produce the precious fabric that was all the rage in Europe and the U.S. The silk industry in Bethlehem was established early in our history. There are references to a cocoonery overseen by Reverend Philip C. Bader in the Brethren's House as early as 1752. Benjamin Franklin was an early and influential promoter. He saw economic opportunity for our young country in response to the wild demand for silk in Europe, the need for the colonies to develop domestic industries, and the favorable conditions he found for growing white mulberry trees, the silkworm's essential food. In fact, the trees were so wild and plentiful that the name given to by the Delaware Indians, Nolamatink, to the area near present-day Nazareth means Where the Silkworm Spins, an apparent reference to the abundant trees and a later cocoonery operated by Bader. The Revolutionary War interrupted the development of the industry and it sputtered along early in the 19th century before collapsing in the late 1840s. It was a cottage industry in early America suited to the, in quotes, weak hands of women and girls by the men of the day, who believed that it could be done during their leisure time to supplement family income. In fact, the work was intense, laborious, and required a high level of skill. Women were expected to master the complex art of raising silkworms, maintaining the cocoons between 50 and 75 degrees, feeding them multiple times during the day on a precise variable schedule, unreeling the mile-long filaments, braiding multiple filaments to form strands for weaving, dyeing the cloth, fashioning it into garments, and cultivating mulberry trees. This underestimation by Franklin and other promoters of the industry of the time women of the day had to devote to this enterprise accounts in part for its failure as a cottage industry. Other factors that led to the industry's pre-Civil War demise included a nationwide bubble in mulberry trees created by speculators and fraudsters, and a mulberry blight. The little house at 26 West Church Street is of this period, recorded in a 1970 report on historic structures in Bethlehem as having been built in 1826 and operating as a cocoonery in 1837. The silk industry revived after the Civil War and was centered in Paterson, New Jersey, where industrial mills were to produce large quantities of fabric and other silk products, again largely employing women and children as labor. As demand grew, the owners in Paterson searched for areas with a large supply of low-cost labor where they could establish more mills. Bethlehem and surrounding areas fit the bill with its large number of immigrants working in the steel and coal industry whose wives and children could be employed in the factories. The first silk mill in the Lehigh Valley opened in 1881. By 1900, there were 23 mills in the Lehigh Valley, and Pennsylvania was second only to New Jersey in silk production. The industry in Pennsylvania and the U.S. peaked in the late 1920s, undone by labor unrest, competition from synthetic fabrics, and the Great Depression. In the decades after World War II, international competition from low-wage countries eliminated most of the mills and the textile employment. In 100 years, the same economic factor, low-wage labor, that brought the industry to the Lehigh Valley in the 1880s led to its demise. I would like to acknowledge the extensive research conducted by Stasha Brown Powrand for this Bethlehem moment.
Thank you, Ms. Diamond. The other name we have signed up for first public comment is Chris Woods.
Hi, my name is Chris Woods. I live at 521 East 5th Street in South Bethlehem. I want to speak about rent and the price of rent tonight. I recently moved to South Bethlehem. Previously, I lived on the north side. And I moved back here to be closer to my job and also because it was much more affordable than my apartment in Allentown. When I signed on to a lease just a few months ago in South Bethlehem, it was with a group called Empire Realty, and they charged me and my three other roommates, so the four of us, $19.95 for the year's lease, so it comes out to be just under $500 a month for each of us, which was very affordable for me at the time. We got notification through correspondence with them, some of which I would describe as hostile, that our rent next year is expected to be $29.80, so that's a 49% increase in our rent. It breaks down to be about $745 each, as opposed to under $500. And that is going to be prohibitive for us to live here. So I will not be living in Bethlehem next year if that's the case, if that's what they want us to pay in the event that we can't find a cheaper place. So that 49% increase to me seems exorbitant. And furthermore, it's not a mom and pop realty shop. It's Campus Hill, which is owned evidently by an article in the Morning Call by a firm called Holiday, Fenoglio and Fowler, which is a Hong Kong-based real estate firm that is part of a larger corporation called Jones, Lang & LaSalle, which is a Fortune 500 company, the 189th largest company in the world. On their website, their firm boasts about strong year-over-year rent growth and is predicting a 25% increase in student population. And given that they serve a student clientele, they're using language that indicates to me that they're trying to extort high rents from these students. None of my roommates are students. We're all, you know, working in the community, either in service jobs or nonprofits. We have neighbors who are also working class folks who had previously had a lease under a realty company that was, you know, affordable to them, obviously, if they made the decision to move in, and I worry that they're going to be subjected to this same rent increase. So I'm just here to start a dialogue and think about what the city can do to protect residents. We want to stay in the city. We are, you know, folks who give back. We like to keep the block clean. We work, as I said, in the community. And it would be a shame if we get priced out, and so I just wanted to discuss that tonight and see if you guys have any ordinances that could address this.
Thank you for your comments. Is there anyone else who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance not being voted on this evening, starting on this side of the room? Yes, Mr. Rodriguez.
Eddie Rodriguez, good evening. 701 Main Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I just want to comment, it's good to see you, so I haven't been here in such a while. I want to comment on the lantern flies that we have a problem in Bethlehem, and it's getting out of hand. I called Harrisburg, and they told me that it's the responsibility of the residents with regards to that. I also asked what could be done to kill these lantern flies. I hear they come from China, but it doesn't matter where they come from. They're a pest and a half, and something that the city could do with regards to that, I gratefully appreciate that. Because this, these are all over, even in nursing homes, properties, trees, walls, your buildings, you name it. They are there, and they're probably going to come on your property, so I think about that. I'm asking for signs to be posted regarding litter on Eastern Avenue and Stepco Boulevard in that immediate sector there, because there's a problematic situation there that people think that they can litter and get away with it. I've seen McDonald's items all over, garbage. Now it's branches and all this sort of stuff. On the other one is Union Boulevard and the 8th Avenue ramp leading upward, which leads up to 378 North. I'm asking you to find some way of cleaning that area up, because it's really in bad shape. Bad. There's bags, furniture, tires, you name it. The whole 378 on both sides. Good luck to the guy that cuts the grass. I'm asking for better communications between police officers and the residents of Bethlehem, or whoever they are. Better communication is what I'm asking for, because when you ask a police officer, some, not all, most of them are very respectful, and I give that to them. But I'm also asking, you know, not to be hostile or sarcastic. Be respectful and just take the call when given a call. You know, I call the desk sergeant and they know me, but I've asked others and it's gotten out of hand. You get no, that officer right there is a very respectful individual. I've dealt with him. And I grant them that, you know, they can take a role model like that, perfect. O'Rourke Road when they're having these marathon races or whatever type of races, seems to me that it's in this immediate sector, and that's a problematic situation also, because you got to get home. I live in Moravian House too. When people are sick in that area, it's Monocacy, Moravian House 1, 2, 3, and they got to get home. What are we expected to do? To go all the way around to Main Street with a limp leg, lungs all pushed up, taking oxygen on wheelchairs and so on and so forth, just because they're having a race? Reroute these races and put them on a sidewalk and not on the street, for heaven's sakes. That's ridiculous. You gotta wait until these races are over, until somebody can get home. I've had to go all over the entire city in this north side just to get a street, and every single one of them are blocked because of these races. Reroute these races, please. Furniture. Since I've been coming to city council meetings, I always said that this problem is going to get worse regarding furniture and leftover items on porches and so on and so forth. Well, it was the south side I was complaining about. Now, I said years ago that it was going to get to the north side. Well, we're here. Go look for yourselves, council members. Go look for yourself, the police, Mike Alcott included, and anyone that works for the city, the streets department. We need to get these people cited so they won't do it again. This is ridiculous. I want something done about it because our city is looking like H-E-L-L, excuse the French. It's not good. The image is going down. We dress up in suits, but the image of the city is going down. I'm not liking that too much. I'm a clean person. I like my streets and my community clean. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Mr. Gallagher? Good evening. Ed Gallagher, 49 West Greenwich. A quick shout out to bookend what I said a couple of meetings ago about Touchstone Theaters Festival Unbound. A quick shout out to them for a successful festival, ended Sunday night here on Payro Plaza. It was a wonderful moment in that last ceremony where the MC, I think his name is JP, in front of the crowd said, "We love you, Bethlehem!" And the crowd just rippled with love in return. So we love you too, Touchstone Theater. I have a lot of video and audio on the Gadfly blog about the festival. An awful lot of material to come to grips with. People were always asking me, well, what was it all about? And one thing I boiled it down to was a comment that Bill George, one of the wizards of Touchstone Theater, said impromptu at the panel that Councilman Reynolds moderated. The purpose of the festival, to generate a sense of we that we have never accomplished before, to improve the sense of community in Bethlehem, a sense of we that we have never accomplished before. When people got to the nitty-gritty about how to do that, they usually talked about individual things, help out at a soup kitchen, or invite a neighbor over to dinner. But one of the things that struck me that I think is apropos of the crowd here tonight is the role that elected officials play. I didn't hear that much about the role that elected officials will play in this generation of the we. It was more on individual things, which I think is important, and I certainly don't want to devalue that kind of thing. So there was one little comment by Mary Foltz in the panel after the secret play that Councilwoman Van Wert participated in, kind of hidden at the end, that magnified itself in my mind. She said, it is individual acts of kindness. It is individual acts of kindness.
but it's also fighting for structural change. And you are the guys who can bring about structural change. So you know that at these moments in past meetings, I always say fight the good fight. You are the people that we depend on. Lots of people going to soup kitchens will be one thing, but elected officials fighting the good fight is crucially important. In the country now, we have 80 or 90% of the people who agree on certain kinds of things, and Congress cannot get its act together to pass those legislations. So there is an important role for the elected official. You guys can be love spreaders, but you are our change agents. So I say even more forcefully tonight, fight the good fight, you who are our elected officials in the city. And I thank you. There are people at the head table and people in the administration who are active participations in the festival. There may be people who participated in events that I didn't get to. It was so good to see you acting in those roles. Public much appreciates those kinds of things. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on this side of the room who'd like to speak? Moving into the center, anyone like to make comment on any ordinance or resolution not being voted on this evening? Yes.
Bill Shire, 1890 Eaton Avenue, back from New Hampshire where the air is cleaner because of all the trees. I'd like to talk about apartments. I've read that the because of the council's denial of the rezoning on Garrison Street, that the developer is going to lose revenues. Leaving aside the question of whether or not you can lose revenues that you never had, I also read that the developer may go up to 12 stories. That got me thinking about apartments and zoning. There are one apartment project has been built, of course, and there are seven that are proposed in various stages of approval. Two on the south side, two on the west side, and three on the north side. The two on the south side are 4th and Vine and the Wilbur Mansion. On the west side, it's the Armory and Skyline West. And on the north side, it's the Boyd Theater, 546 North New, and New Street from North to Garrison. I'm reminded of when the Renew Lehigh Valley got started. This is a group formed by the movers and shakers of the Lehigh Valley. If you go to their luncheon meetings, it's $35. But I went to the very first thing they had, which was a bunch of focus groups, and I was in a focus group of half a dozen people or so, and the young moderator said, the Planning Commission is forecasting that 140,000 people are going to move to the Lehigh Valley by the year 2025 or so. And I spoke up right away and said, where is it written that we have to make room for 140,000 more people? At a later date, I'm going to read to you a statement made by Sinclair Lewis in 1929 on this subject. But let's assume for the moment that we do make room for all these people. Is there enough demand for seven new apartment projects in the city of Bethlehem? And if not, some won't get built. And which ones should not get built? Well, the ones that are least destructive, or the most destructive of the city's fabric. Now, it's a close call as to which ones are the most destructive of the city's character as it exists today. But I would nominate the proposed apartment building on New Street from North to Garrison. And then looking at that CB zoning there, I looked at the map again today and I was struck by how all of North Street is CB, and or that block from Main to New. And but the CB on this downtown business district with 150-foot height limit goes from Broad Street all the way up to almost Union Boulevard. If, even given that North Street is still CB, why did it extend another block up that way? Union, by the way, got downzoned from CB to CL, which is limited commercial, sometimes called neighborhood commercial. Why was that extra block allowed to remain CB? Well, I don't know. That was back in 2005, I understand. And that was 14 years ago. Even though I had come back by then, I wasn't paying that much close attention to it. That effort was led by Bill Fitzpatrick to do the downzoning that did occur. But that extra block of CB zoning is like a middle finger sticking up into the residential area of the city. I think an argument, a good argument could be made to rezone that to CL, neighborhood commercial, like East Broad Street from east of Center Street, like West Broad Street west of Monocacy. It seems to me it would be more fitting for the city. And that would eliminate then the most disruptive of these seven apartment projects. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the center who would like to make comment? Moving to this side of the room, is there anyone who would like to make your comment? Mr. Antalix.
Thank you, sir. Stephen Antalix, 77 Ridge. Following up Chapter 2, the alternative Bethlehem moment. Following up from the last time I mentioned the Texas Vends, WNDS, and not related to our Bethlehem Windish, but closely related to the Moravians who were living with Zinzendorf in Saxony. Germans have been well noted over history in preserving ethnic purity, and that ethnic purity came the word Wend, which labeled any Slavic person living on German territory. And these Lusatian Sorbs, who they really were a Slavic group living right on the border with Germany and 17 miles from Herrnhut, which is the home of the what we call today Moravians. And many of these Texas Vends or Lusatian Sorbs Germanized themselves and took on the German name, so they took their Slavic name and Germanized it. And what's interesting is that Mr. Nitschmann, which is a famous name in Bethlehem, says he was born in Zalkenthal, and there's no Zalkenthal in Germany. Zalkenthal is actually in Moravia, and the real name of Zalkenthal was Suchtal. So the German, the Slavic name Suchtal was Germanized in Zalkenthal. And what's interesting is also that there's a very famous statue on Main Street from of a building Marian College, Jan Comenius. And if you look into history, Comenius was born as Johann Komensky, which is Slavic name. And if you look a little further, the community which started as Bethlehem in 1742 tried to maintain that ethnic purity, because if you go to 8th Avenue and Union Boulevard, there's a statue there. I think it's a Civil War monument. And on the back side of that statue, it refers to the history of Bethlehem. I don't know how many of you know this, but it says clearly in stone that the early community in Bethlehem, if you wanted to own a house in Bethlehem in those days, you had to belong to the Moravian Church. So if you wanted to own a house, you joined the church and you Germanized yourself. So interesting how the term, as I said before, you know, the Braska, which is the origins of today's Moravianism, was then Latinized to Unitas Fratrum, along with Mr. Kaminsky. So, something a little to think about.
Thank you. Is there anyone on this side of the room who would like to make a comment? Moving to second public comment on ordinances and resolutions to be voted on. We have no names previously signed up, so I'll start on this side of the room again. Is there anyone who would like to make a comment on our resolution or ordinance to be voted on in the center of the room? Yes.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Sikonski of 427 6th Ave. I'm part of the Environmental Advisory Council for the City of Bethlehem. Over the last year, the EAC has researched other cities' plastic bag bans and drafted a plastic bag ordinance for the City of Bethlehem. When the state of PA put a ban on the plastic bags, it was not only on plastic bag bans, it was not only disappointing to us, but it kind of stopped us in our tracks. So we greatly appreciate and applaud City Council's resolution in support of legislation to reduce the plastic bag bans, or plastic bags. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the center who'd like to make comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on this evening? This side of the room? All right, very well. Moving on with our agenda to old business. We have one item on our agenda for old business for members of council. We have a motion to discharge the Public Safety Committee from consideration of Bill Number 40-2019, Parking Fine Increases, Bethlehem Parking Authority. I will accept the motion in a second to discharge the Public Safety Committee from consideration of Bill Number 40-2019.
So moved.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Callahan, second by Mr. Colon. Discussion on the motion to discharge the committee. Mr. Callahan?
Thank you, Mr. President. I just think that we've been discussing this. It's been on the table and discussed here for over almost a year now. I think at some point we got to let the parking authority know where we stand on this. There's been a lot of discussion, which I think has been some false information about having to lower the rates to help retail on Main Street. And I think that if you look at the, I live on Main Street, I live right there on the corner of Main and Broad. You can hardly ever find a parking space on Main Street in the downtown district, ever. I go down there for lunch almost every day, and sometimes I gotta park, a couple blocks away. So I don't think the issue is the fee structure of the meters. It's definitely not the fee structure of the garages. I mean, if you ask the parking authority, the ideal thing, and if you ask any of the people who own businesses down there on Main Street, we don't want people parking at a meter all day long. That's like the worst thing that could happen to the downtown. So the goal is to make it cheaper for people to park in the garages who are going to be down there for 8-9 hours a day. So if you, and that is the way it is set up right now with the garages. It is not set up that way right now with the fee structure of the fines. It's actually, we are actually rewarding people breaking the law. It's, if you pay the meter all day, it's $1.50, 8 hours, you're looking at $12. if you just negate the meter, don't pay it, ignore it, break the law, it's only $10. So you're saving $2 by breaking the law. And if you look at the numbers that the parking authority has written fines, it's almost doubled in the last couple of years. So we don't control the fines. The mayor does that. I mean, so the mayor made that decision. That's his decision. Our decision is based on the fines. So I just think at this point that, you know, retail, you know, I heard at the last meeting that, you know, we need to do something to help retail out of downtown. Retail, the downtown's not struggling. We have one of the most vibrant and booming downtowns in the state of Pennsylvania. There's no parking down there as is. The retail throughout the United States is hurting. So are some retail facilities on Main Street hurting or struggling? Maybe. But retail is hurting all over the United States of America. Out at the malls, they have free parking out there. Down at the promenade, they have free parking. Retail's hurting down there. So it's not the cause of retail hurting in the United States. It's not free parking versus metered parking. So I just think that we need to, at some point, move on with this. And one way or the other, I don't know if it's the will of council to pass or not. If it isn't, that's fine. But I think we need to let the parking authority know so they can move ahead with Plan B. And I talked to as a liaison for the parking authority. I talked to Mr. Hoffmeyer. I talked to Mr. Livingston, and they would just like to know one way or the other instead of just stalling it in a committee. I will tell you this: Plan B has to be. Right now, it's out of control down there because people know it's cheaper to pay the meters, and it's hurting downtown businesses with the meter fee the way it is, or with the fine fee the way it is, because as I said earlier, it's cheaper to just pay the fine and take a chance of getting a parking ticket. 20%, only 20% of the fines that the parking authority writes is for meter violations. And I don't know if the parking authority wants me to tell this, but it's true. And, you know, just so everybody thinks that the parking authority is not the bad guy here, there's already built in 3-minute grace period in all of the meters. So it's not like the parking authority just driving around waiting for, you know, boom, that second that someone's meter violation goes. It goes for 3 extra minutes. And only 20% of all the fines that the parking authority is writing is on meter violations. And the large majority of them are on violations of people not moving their cars on street cleaning days. So, I just think at this time it's time to move it forward, and let the rest of council vote on it, to keep it in a committee. And I would hope that council would support that. So, thank you.
Mr. Klum?
Thank you, President Waldron. I'll be brief. We had a few committee meetings. We had a recent public safety committee meeting about the fine increases. We had one about a year ago. We've talked at length about statistics and things like that. But kind of where I'm at with this is I would support putting it on the agenda for a vote. I would support the motion made by Mr. Callahan tonight. That being said, I hope it wouldn't. I know during the public safety committee meeting, some other members of council had engaged the parking authority in discussions and things that maybe they wanted the parking authority to explore and see. And I would hope that between the members of council who are interested in having conversations like that with the parking authority and the good faith of the parking authority and Mr. Livingston and their board, that this would not end those conversations. But in terms of what we're talking about with the fine increases, I would support us taking action on that with a vote up or down. Thank you.
Is there any other comments from members of council on the motion to discharge the Public Safety Committee from consideration of Bill Number 40? Dr. Benmar?
Just for the benefit of the people in the room, at the committee meeting, there were 3 members who vote, and we voted not to support the parking fine increase at this moment, 2-1. And one of the reasons was because I wanted to make sure that when the parking authority was taking into consideration structural changes to the parking system, which is complex, and there's a lot of ways to interpret how to make people's parking behavior work appropriately, that the parking authority was considering what's best for the people of Bethlehem, the parkers of Bethlehem, the small businesses of Bethlehem, and not just the bottom line of the parking authority. So along those lines, I requested that the parking authority consider instituting free parking in a pilot period, in a pilot area. I had suggested downtown on Main Street, Broad Street, and 3rd Street in South Bethlehem. But I think any proposal that the parking authority might put forward that would entail free parking and helping our downtowns be more lively. Like, look at what Allentown does. They have free parking in their garages after 5 p.m. Something that shows that we can use the power of parking to help our downtowns and not just continually add fees and parking meter fines and rate increases on it. So I had asked that that be considered, and Mr. Hoffmeyer, who's chair of the authority, said that they would consider it. And I think what we were hoping to accomplish is having that dialogue now rather than hoping that the parking authority will do this at some future junction. And that's the background behind the vote and why I still would like to go before the parking authority, and I hope that my colleagues on council who may support the fee increase tonight would come with me, because I think that this is a really good dialogue to have. Like, what is city council's role in helping discuss the parking authority and its ways of interacting with the city? How do we have a healthier relationship and a good dialogue? So whatever the outcome is tonight, I certainly hope that any of the members of council who may think that there's ways to explore helping our downtown would come with me and enter in this dialogue with the authority. Thank you.
Mr. Reynolds?
Just a couple of thoughts. One is I think that the one thing that we all agree on is that the parking system is complicated. And I also think that everybody hates the parking authority so much, it's hard to have a rational conversation about some of these things sometimes with people when you hear fines. And I credit both Mr. Callahan and Dr. Van Woord for their comments here. I think going forward, there's not a reason why we can't do both of these things. I think if you look at a potential pilot program, which I think is an idea that's absolutely worth exploring. It has to be done by ordinance, and it would have to include fine increases that council is going to control. Just like over the past couple of months, people have talked about how we got to this point by which the mayor controls some parts of parking, parking authority controls some parts of parking, council does. Because the system is designed like that, I do agree with Dr. Van Woord that city council should have some ways to influence that conversation. I also agree with a lot of what Mr. Callahan had said, is that we are not going to make people, we could just do away with fines completely. That's something council could do, and then people wouldn't put money in the meter because there'd be no reason to. But going forward, I think that both of these ideas have merit, and I think that the process by which to create a pilot program and the amount of details that are included in there as far as how do you do the signage, how long, where is it, all of that is worthwhile. And I think the idea, we need to write less tickets. I said that last meeting. Mr. Livingston was shaking his head. It is the single worst thing that I think goes on with anything having to do with parking, is that people hate getting a parking ticket. They hate the emotional feeling of it. They hate everything about it. So we probably need to do a couple of different things. We probably need to do both of these ideas to find ways to reduce the amount of tickets that are being written. Because whether or not it's anecdotal or emotional or not, it does affect some people's ability to want to park in our downtown. So I think that it's a good idea always a good idea to talk about the parking system, because it is complicated, and you never can use one sentence that sums everything up, because as Mr. Callahan said, different businesses want different things, restaurants want different things, retail want different things, but at the same time, other cities are clearly doing different things that involve some type of free parking here, that at least anecdotally from afar seem as if, they're appreciated by the people. So I think going forward, I do think we should have a vote on this in 3 weeks, but I also think that, as a city council, we should take a look at some of the different ideas, such as, the idea of creating a pilot program, which will not be a simple process, but I do think that we should weigh in on that conversation. We shouldn't be involved in that conversation going forward as a way to look at all the different options here. So I think both of these ideas are worthwhile and things that I'm, sign me up for. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Negron?
Thank you, President Waldron. I just want to say and encourage anybody that would like to know more about what happened at our committee meeting to check out our website and revise the video, because we did have, like Dr. Van Wert had a very long and intense conversation, all very married and important. I said it at the meeting, I'll repeat it again. I do believe that we need to increase the fines, but I also believe that we cannot keep on increasing the fees because it's hurting our pockets, the people's pocket. And the businesses will keep on, every 5 years we're gonna keep on increasing it. I have two daughters that live in Philadelphia, and I go there very often, and trust me, I pay attention to where I park because I don't want to get a ticket in Philadelphia, just like in New York City. They're extremely expensive, and that will definitely deter people if the parking fines are higher. But I still don't, I wish we can reconsider the structure that we have in terms of, this division of one entity operates and controls one thing and the mayor and council the other. I think that is causing a stretch that it shouldn't be. I really don't understand why, but I will not support this tonight because I was in the I'm a part of the committee and we had a discussion and the majority agreed that we should hear more from the parking authority, and even they were willing to do the study, as Dr. Van Wert stated it earlier at that meeting. So, thank you, President Wert.
I'll be brief and put my two cents in. I pretty much concur with all the comments tonight, but I think that it's time, even though I hate to increase any expense on our citizens, that we do need to increase the fines to deter people from just staying at the meter all day. But I think we can do both, look at increasing the fines and also work with the parking authority to institute a pilot program whereby maybe we could have free parking at certain times of the day and evening and certain times of the year.
Thank you, Mr. Ramsey Smith. My perspective, Ms. Cramsey Smith just said something that kind of flashed in my mind. She doesn't want to increase expenses to people, and I agree with her, but I don't think a parking violation fine is an expense if you follow the rules that are pretty clear of the time limits in the parking meter. So this is strictly a deterrent to the fine increases, deterrent so that people will pay the meter, which is the intent that the parking authority wants. They don't want to write tickets and depend on that revenue. They want people to follow the rules so that they don't have to write something to the effect of 80,000 tickets a year. I don't know that there's anyone in council who disagrees that the $10 parking fee is too low, and I would hope at the same time that we can continue this conversation to some of the things that Dr. Van Wert had touched on with the pilot program, potentially in free parking, because that will, as Mr. Reynolds said, will require an ordinance and a future conversation. So I look at these as two parallel paths that can kind of run concurrently. So I think the conversation should move to full council for consideration of the fee increase. Simultaneously, I think the parking authority should work with the administration, work with council on some other creative ideas that we might be able to do to help our downtown, to support them, as well as make people feel fair in their use of our downtown and our parking system. Mr. Collin?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, I would also just add that, I agree with Mr. Reynolds. I mean, the whole idea of getting a ticket anywhere is very displeasing to anybody. But I would encourage all council members in the next 3 weeks, if you get a chance, during the days and on Saturday, there is free parking on Sundays, throughout the BPA Parking Authority. But I think that if you take some time and go down to Main Street and Broad Street and the downtown historic district, you're going to find out that there is no parking available as is on the meters at curbside. There's none. After once in a blue moon, you're going to find an empty spot of someone pulling out. But so that tells me that paying the meter is not an issue for anybody. And I just think that it's time that we help, you know, correct and help the parking authority get control of the meters again. I just think it's out of control. I've talked to Mr. Livingston several times about it. I can tell you this. I think that they will do the study if we ask them to. I do not think that they are in favor of giving out free parking on Main Street. I think before we would do that, I would hope everybody on council would go downtown and talk to all the merchants and see what would you think if we had free parking all day long on Main Street. I think they would be very upset about it, because that's going to basically tell, I mean, there are residents on the second and third floors of most of those properties on Main Street, and you would basically see no turnover in those parking spaces, and I think it would severely hurt the downtown merchants and restaurants even more. So again, I don't think paying the meter is the problem, because they're already filled as is. And last comment is that, you know, before we order all these studies, I think everybody needs to understand these studies cost an enormous amount of money. Just to say, hey, we want to study on free parking in the downtown, which I don't believe is going to happen, but I may be wrong, but it we're looking at $20,000-$30,000. Just blowing $20,000-$30,000 for a free parking study. If that's the will of council, well, God bless. But I don't think that's the way to go. Thank you.
Mr. Waldron, could I just factually correct something, which are in the minutes of the committee meeting, if you would like to refer to them. But the idea is that you have free parking. It's modeled on other cities that have successfully implemented this. It's time limited to 2 to 3 hours, and the deterrent is that the parking fee, parking ticket is increased to $30 or $40 or $50. So there is mandated turnover by the high penalty of the parking ticket itself. It's a model, it's well studied, it's effective, and it increases turnover because everybody knows they can come downtown and stay for a certain amount of time. The people who are risk averse to that ticket park in the garage. So it's a well endorsed model. I just wanted to correct that factually. Thank you.
Amen. Mr. Callahan?
Ms. Van Moore, didn't you make a comment in that meeting that you were concerned about the
financial? Mr. Callahan, can you direct your comments to the chair, please?
I thought we established that that Mr. Spurk said in small committees we are allowed to address each other. That's according to Robert's Rules of Order.
I just would hope that you could be respectful.
I am.
Thank you.
I'm just asking a simple question. Dr. Van Moore, you had made a statement that you were concerned about the finances of the parking authority. I don't see how we're giving everybody free parking on certain days and lowering their rates, which was also a suggestion, is going to help the finances of the parking authority. That's all. I just wanted to make a comment. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the motion at hand? Clerk, will please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. I will now accept a motion and a second to place bill number 40-29 on the agenda for Wednesday, November 6th, for full council consideration under first reading for the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Callahan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Cologne. Is there discussion on that motion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. Is there any other old business for members of council? Moving on with our agenda to communications. Communication 6A was pulled. Communication 6B.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, with an attached resolution authorized the execution of an agreement for the transportation alternatives set aside federal aid reimbursement agreement related to the South Bethlehem Connections Project.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda, Communication 6C.
A memorandum from Councilman J. William Reynolds with a proposed resolution encouraging the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to enact legislation to reduce or eliminate the distribution, use, and discarding of single-use plastic bags.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda, Communication 6D.
A memorandum from Edmund J. Healy, First Assistant City Solicitor, proposing an ordinance amending Article 156, titled City of Bethlehem Pension Fund. The amendment would remove the Officers and Employees Pension Board and funds from the jurisdiction of the City Pension Board fund managers.
The ordinance will be placed on the November 6th Council agenda for first reading, Communication 6E.
A memorandum from Councilman J. William Reynolds with a proposed resolution encouraging the U.S. Congress to enact the Medicare for All Act of 2019.
The resolution will be placed on the November 6th agenda, Communication 6F.
A memorandum from Mark Sivak, Director of Budget and Finance, advising that a direct deposit for pension state aid in the amount of $4,157,845.24 was received on September 19th, 2019. It's been allocated to the pension bond payments and police and fire minimum municipal obligations.
Resolution 10C is on the agenda, Communication 6G.
A memorandum from Darlene Heller, Director of Planning and Zoning, to which is attached the 2020 to 2024 capital program. At its September 26, 2019 meeting, the City Planning Commission voted to recommend approval of the capital program.
Committee of the Whole meeting has been scheduled for Wednesday, November 6th at 6 p.m. to review the capital improvement programs. Communication 6H.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with Spillman Farmer Architects for services related to the Bethlehem Dog Kennel. The term of the contract runs 9 months from the notice to proceed. The fee is $17,900. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda, Communication 6I.
A memorandum from Michael Alcall, Director of Public Works, recommending a contract with S.J. Thomas Company, Inc. for services related to ADA upgrades to the bathroom facilities at Monocacy Park, Yasco Pool, and Clearview Pool. The contract services shall be completed by December 31st, 2019. The fee for the contract is $5,450, and there are no renewals.
Resolution 10E is on the agenda, Communication 6J.
A memorandum from Edward Boscola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, with the proposed amendment to Article 927, titled Sewer Rental, increasing sewer rate charges for all customer classes, effective January 1st, 2020.
The ordinance will be placed on the November 6th Council agenda for first reading. Communication 6K.
A memorandum from City Solicitor William P. Leeson with a proposed intermunicipal agreement between the City of Bethlehem and Lehigh Township Municipal Authority related to water services at a resale water meter pit in the city's franchise service territory.
The ordinance will be placed on November 6th Council agenda for first reading. Reports. I have no reports this evening. Mr. Evans?
Thank you, President Waldron. There are no reports from the mayor this evening. I just did want to give you the opportunity to let you know that we are launching our new website tomorrow, and I did have some communication with you to let you know. We'd like to just provide a short preview to that. It'll actually flip over tonight, so by tomorrow morning at some point we'll see it go live. And some of the capabilities, of course, are things that have been in the works for a long time. We did select a partner, it was KSA&D about a year ago at this time. We stood in front of council or sat in front of council and talked about the ways we'd like to upgrade what we can do with their website, the way the support it can provide to residents and visitors alike. So what I have in front of you right now is the current website. Some of the issues were the inability for us to access it directly. Everything had to go through an individual, whether it be changes, whether it be update, outside quick social media update. It could not do any of those things. If I slide down, you'll see there's a number of quick links that are at the bottom, some functional, some not as functional, some outdated. So we took a look at it. All departments were very active and engaged. I want to thank them for their support along the way because it's been a long path. There's a whole lot of information in the current site, some of it hard to find, some of it we were able to discard. We tried to make it efficient and friendlier to use. So I'll switch over. The new look that we've come up with is we think it's friendly, it's a little cleaner to look at, it'll be easier to use. You can see the logo we use at the top. Above all, we'll be able to update it and rapidly respond to the changing environment in which we work at within the city. So you'll see across the top, A picture we can change whenever we would like to, rather than relying on someone else. You'll see the normal pull-down menus, the Facebook. If you slide down, there are several what we believe to be highly functional quick links. I'll show you some of them quickly, and then of course you'll be able to explore on your own in the coming days, weeks, and months. Sliding down on what's popular section, this will automatically populate. We don't pick what's popular internally. That's going to be taken from the number of hits the different sites or the different landing pages are getting. Down the bottom, the news or view all will give us the ability to post at any time any news that's breaking throughout our city, throughout our departments. This is a homepage, which will be the mayor's ability to access this, but each of the six departments will have their own ability to post a news event. I'm sorry, a news or event. And you see, so some of these samples were put in ahead of time. Once we get going, each department will be able to go and add them at will. So for example, the 98th annual Halloween parade is upon us. If I'm a user, I'm visiting it. If I see the picture and the caption, which will be put in by each department, I can move over it. I can link to it. Hopefully connectivity is working. The computer's sitting quietly for a while. Yeah, I knew this would install on me. Perfect. Okay, it will pull up any information that we want to put in there. And then in this case, there's if you want to blog register, we always have a great turnout for a parade. The user could link on and do the Google Docs. So you can register for the Halloween parade right online. So all the rules are here for all the council, no political campaign, big rule. I will move you to the home budget. But I moved to some of the quick links that are available. Some of the capabilities it does have is the OpenBeth, and we talked about this in the fall when we linked with OpenGov. OpenBeth introduction is there. The help guide is available. If I slide down, some of the links you'll be able to click on and filter through the opportunities that OpenGov provides to us. If you want to use the report, if you know how to do it, you can go right into the viewing. You can see this is information that's uploaded every night. So for full transparency, all our financial information is available to be moved around into different reports. The Explore Bethlehem links with the Chamber. Right at the Chamber site, it's what we often refer to as the marketing arm of the city. It's able to have personal resources that are able to support our success in a number of different ways. So this is also a brand new site, so we're able to leverage the work they've done to move through a different work that they've done and provided the city, whether it be nightlife, hotels, hotel events, things that we may not do in the ins and outs of city business. They are able to help us promote that area. Forms and permits are online. Our purchasing director is able to put all RFPs and bids. We're able to post jobs. Our human resource director, she can post them directly. And all the information is there. The applications are online. They can click to it. We're able to get the seasonal work schedules. The Bethlehem Service Center is advertised on here, as well as city council meetings. If someone wants to find out when the meeting are, if I go into tonight, now this was just typed in wrong this morning, but that should be committee. But if I go to the city council meeting tonight, 7 o'clock, there's more. It opens a link. There's a background links and the agenda would all be available. Once the meeting happens, I can go back in time and find meeting archives. If I go to earlier, I can move to something that may have happened earlier this year. If I go to in April, I want to see what happened on council. I heard in the earlier dialogue talking about what happened. There's the agenda. Meeting minutes are available. The audio is available. The video is available. All the documents are available. So you can go out and find out and collect exactly what happened, what was talked about and discussed on that given night. On your own, I'm not going into any of this, but I'll just show you quickly just one example of what the department's worked on. They're able to update their pictures. If I slide down, the news and event, the new ambulance that was delivered a couple weeks ago that was purchased and delivered this, there's information. If they click, you can look on what's going on. The departments, they can add their events. These are just self-populated right now until the EMS departments, and we go live tomorrow and start adding their own, as well as a Facebook. So there's a whole lot going on with the new site. I encourage you to visit it, look around, and see some of the things that it's able to do. You can buy your pool passes, your pavilions, you can rent them in all the, I'm sorry, the forms and permits are online, the archives, the budgets, if we go under the city government for a moment, I move around, you can see, I can find out the current tax structure, or any authorities and commissions. We have a whole lot. We talked about the parking authority a little bit tonight. There's a lot. If I just scroll down, it mentions executive director of each one, their current phone number, the chair of the committee, the link, when they meet, where they meet. So from, you know, they're listed alphabetically. So there's a whole lot to choose from, a whole lot to attend and look into. So they're all here as well. And if I want to, I can link right to, again, to any one of them from here and takes me right to their site. So that's quick overview, Mr. Walter. I just want to show you and let you know what's happening tomorrow. It's been in the works a long time. We're excited to get it going, and it'll be something that blossoms through time, especially with the news and the events and the quick links.
Okay.
Thank you.
On that topic, is there any questions or comments from members of council? Mr. Reynolds?
I just want to say thank you to Mr. Evans, the administration. I know that takes a ton of work, and I think, as I've said many times, we come up with the ideas and we expect them just to get done. But that's to launch a website. I know if you ever create a website that has even like three different pages on it, it takes a ton of work, let alone something that's this complicated. So the administration deserves a lot of credit, all of the staff, the department heads, and I think the functionality, taking a look at it, really is an improvement, and I just want to say thank you. It's like I said, I know that's day in and day out work to get that up and running, but it's good, and I was appreciative of the open data stuff, getting a prominent location there on the first page, and I think that there's a lot of potential there that we can talk about in a couple weeks in the budget hearings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Dr. Van Wert?
The Community Development Committee met on today at 6 o'clock in Town Hall. The members of the committee held the annual financial accountability incentive reporting hearing required by Article 349 and reviewed economic development incentive reports submitted by the administration. The meeting was for informational purposes only. No action was taken by a committee. The reports will be posted on the city website in the near future, specifically the Community and Economic Development webpage. Thank you.
Moving on with our agenda to ordinances for final passage this evening, Ordinance 8A.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2019 General Fund Budget. Bill 36, 2019 is sponsored by Ms. DeGrone and Mr. Colon.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone.
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds.
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Mr. Callahan.
Aye.
Mr. Colon.
Aye.
Mr. Waldron.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8B.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2019 Community Development Block Grant and Home Budget. Bill 37, 2019 is sponsored by Ms. DeGrone and Mr. Callahan.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Ordinance 8C. Buckle up.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Lehigh, and Northampton Counties, Pennsylvania, authorizing and directing the issuance of taxable general obligation bonds, Series A of 2019, in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $60 million. Providing the proceeds of the 2019 Series A bonds shall be applied to carry out the refunding of all or a portion of the remaining outstanding general obligation notes, 2011 Series B, and to carry out the refunding of all or a portion of the remaining outstanding federally taxable obligation general obligation bonds, Series B of 2015. And to carry out the refunding of all or a portion of the remaining outstanding federally taxable obligation bond 2014 Series C pursuant to a taxable refunding program. Providing further for the issuance of tax-exempt general obligation bonds 2019 Series AA in the maximum aggregate principal amount of $12 million, with the proceeds being applied to carry out the refunding of the city's general obligation bonds 2012 Series and the refunding of the city's general obligation bonds 2013 Series A pursuant to a tax-exempt refunding program. Determining that the bond sale shall be a private sale under the Act. Determining that the bond shall be non-electoral debt. Fixing the interest, payment dates, denominations, registration, transfer, and exchange privileges of the bonds. Providing for book entry bonds. Setting forth the maturity dates, principal maturities, and current interest rates of each bond series. and establishing a required payment schedule with respect to the sinking fund as hereinafter established in order to amortize the bonds, establishing bond redemption provisions, accepting a bid for purchase of the bonds, and authorizing execution of the bond purchase agreement, designating a paying agent and registrar, designating a place and method of payment of the bonds and interest thereon, and making certain covenants with respect to the tax-free status of the 2019 AA bonds, establishing the substantial forms of the bonds, designating a sinking fund depository, covenanting to pay the principal and interest of the bonds and pledging the full faith, credit, and taxing power of the city, establishing a sinking fund for the bonds and authorizing and directing payment therefrom, setting forth certain rights of the paying agent and bondholders in the event of default, and other rights of the parties with respect to the bonds, providing for the circumstances under which the ordinance may be amended or modified, providing for the terms, conditions, and covenants with respect to the bond insurer, if any, authorizing and directing officers of the city to do and perform certain specified or required or appropriate acts, declaring that the incurred debt is within applicable city debt limitations, authorizing and directing officers of the city to deliver the bonds upon execution and authentication thereof, upon receipt of proper payment of the balance due, therefore, and only after specified approval is required by the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, setting forth certain covenants relating to the federal tax status of the bonds, providing for compliance with Securities and Exchange Commission Rule 15C212, covenanting to pay its settlement sufficient monies to provide for the payment of the prior bonds in accordance with the taxable refunding program and tax-exempt refunding program, authorizing and directing certain other actions and approving documentation with regard to the refunding programs, providing for the issuance of irrevocable instructions to the paying agent for the prior bonds to call said prior bonds for redemption, and establishing the form of such irrevocable instructions in the notice of redemption, providing for severability of the ordinance provisions, repealing all inconsistent ordinance provisions, and setting an effective date for the ordinance. Bill 38-2019 is sponsored by Mr. Colon and Mr. Callahan.
We received a amendment from bond counsel. If the clerk would please read that amendment.
The proposed amendments to Bill 38-2019 include the following changes. 1. Inserted language into the body of the ordinance to consistently throughout the ordinance indicate that all or a portion of the 2014B bonds and the 2014C bonds will be refunded as part of the taxable refunding program, but only to the extent that the interest rate savings to be realized for those series of bonds is in compliance with the city's debt policy, and to insert language to clarify that the prior bonds subject to the refunding will only be those prior bonds or a portion of the prior bonds which results in savings consistent with the city's debt policy. 2. Inserted language into the body of the ordinance identifying the successful underwriting firm selected as PNC Capital Markets LLC as senior manager and Jenny Montgomery Scott LLC as co-manager. The amendments are sponsored by Mr. Grown and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion. Mr. Shearer, if you don't mind giving us your translation of what that amendment means.
As he's approaching, I'll just quickly summarize that. Again, there's no new borrowing, no new money being borrowed. There's no extension of the existing maturities. All mature as is on the same time frame, and that's looking just to take the opportunity of historical low interest rates as well. What was the motivation for the administration to make that move?
All right, thank you. Again, good evening. Yeah, the kind of the simple version of the amendment was, I believe when I was here last time, I had mentioned that we did put out an RFP for underwriting services, so we did bid that out. And we bid it out for both series of bonds. As you heard, there's a potentially large taxable piece and another tax-exempt piece. So through that bidding process, you know, maybe we had five or six that responded that typically do, you know, Pennsylvania general obligation bond issues. They were all very well-qualified firms. PNC was provided the best bid for the taxable transaction. Jane Montgomery Scott produced the best results for the tax-exempt portion of the transaction. So we basically just appointed them both based on the results of the RFP process, both appointed to underwrite both transactions, and we have PNC as the lead because the taxable piece is the larger. So again, it was just basically vetting the underwriting through a competitive process, and with PNC and Janney submitted very good responses. And now we just need to hope that the market holds out until hopefully next Thursday is when we'd like to target to actually price the bonds. We went through an extensive credit rating phone call yesterday with the administration and with the credit rating agency. We get those results back tomorrow, and we'll be reviewing the documents, have a lot more phone calls to do. Hope to, again, price the transaction later next week, assuming the market holds out.
Great. And is that typical where you see two separate underwriters for the taxable and non-taxable?
If there's two different series, and this is a pretty large deal, if the market holds out, so it is. That is a common practice.
Yes, understood.
And it does not cost the city any additional money by having two underwriters. They basically just split that fee amongst themselves.
Understood. Thank you. Any other comments or questions from members of council? Mr. Calhoun?
No, I just want to say, as the chairman of the finance committee, we went over this in a finance committee, and Mr. Yasso, the controller, was also in favor, along with a 3-0 vote from the finance committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
The clerk would please call the roll on the amendment.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Discussion on the bill as amended. Clerk, would please call the roll on the bill as amended.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. New ordinances for consideration. We have one this evening, bill number 39.
An ordinance amending part 13 of the codified ordinances of the city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as amended. Notice the zoning ordinance of the city of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by amending the city zoning map. Bill 39, 2019, is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion? Clerk, would please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions. Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller are hereby authorized to execute a transportation alternative set-aside reimbursement agreement and any other necessary documents with the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation for the purpose of accepting transportation alternative set-aside funds. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Negron and Mr. Reynolds.
Discussion. Please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Cologne?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that it urges the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to enact legislation with statewide effect implementing measures to mitigate or eliminate the harm caused by the distribution, use, and discarding of single-use plastic bags, and also urges the Commonwealth to enact legislation lifting the moratorium and authorizing local municipalities to adopt ordinances implementing measures designed to mitigate or eliminate the harm caused by the distribution, use, and discarding of single-use plastic bags. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Mr. Reynolds?
Yeah, just a couple things. One is I want to thank the EAC for their kind of constant drumbeat of this particular issue. And I also want to thank the administration for help, coming together or coming up with this particular resolution here. It's an issue that I think going forward, and I sent a memo to council, and I talked at the last DAC meeting last week about this, is that no matter what happens at the state level as far as banning single-use plastic bags or allowing municipalities to kind of have some type of control over this, a big part of this, I think, going forward is going to have to be education. And it's going to have to be a proactive movement about how do we let people know, how do we make it easier for them to use reusable bags, how do we work with businesses. There's a whole lot of ways that we can create behavior change other than just passing ordinances. We know that enforcing ordinances is not always simple. So this is, I think it's a step in the right direction, but at the same time, I think as we go forward and as we look at a lot of different issues that are affecting this city as far as issues of sustainability and climate action, it's going to have to be kind of a dual, or parallel road process as far as it's, some of it's going to be through legislation and action, policy action up here, but a lot of it's going to be coming up with creative ways to encourage the community, to let them be a part of it. Mr. Gallagher talked about this week over at Touchstone Theater, and there's a lot of people in this community that want to be part of the solution. And I think that one of the challenges for our community, and I'm hopeful that our climate action plan, which we're going to be talking about during the budget hearing and our consultant, will help to create those structures by which we really are able to create the change that can't happen just by passing ordinances. It has to happen through education, and it has to happen through working together. The good news is there is a strong spirit of of you know, on these issues going forward as far as people want to be part of the solution. So I think the challenge for all of us and for our climate action plan is how do you create that structure that allows people to be part of that positive change. But once again, I want to thank the AC and I want to thank the administration for their help here. Thank you, Mr. Waldron.
Any other comments from members of council? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the appropriate city officials are hereby authorized to allocate $4,157,845.24 in 2019 General Municipal Pension System State Aid to the line items specified in the resolution. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Spillman Farmer Architects for services related to the Bethlehem Dog Kennel. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
I don't know if this is a question for Mr. DeLuzio or Mr. Alcall. If you can kind of give us an overview of what this is and where we are with the project. There's been some talk of this for 4 years, maybe. So if you can let us know what the current status is. Thank you.
Well, this would be the third proposed location for the dog kennel, which is part of why it's been around for so long. The last one was the Stockton Pool building. That didn't work out, so now we're down in the garage area, in the corner of the garage, the former water control building. So all we're doing is we're changing the scope of work for the architect to design the improvements, which is essentially some simple fit out of that space to make it usable for this purpose. Address some ventilation issues and just amenities to house this. So that's the reason for request to enter into a professional services agreement to have them provide us with that support. Then we'll take their work and put together bid package and bid the work.
Thank you, Mr. Alcall. Any other questions or comments from members of council? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and of such other city officials as deemed appropriate are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with S.J. Thomas Company, Inc. for services related to ADA upgrades to bathroom facilities at Monocacy Park, Yasco Pool, and Clearview Pool. The resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Gramsci-Smith.
Discussion? Clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Walter?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10F through 10H as a group and ask the clerk to call the roll on that motion.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Callahan, second by Ms. DeGrone.
Ms. Gramsci-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrone?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Walter?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Discussion on resolutions 10F through 10H.
Mr. Alden?
Yes, Mr.
Reynolds. I didn't feel like stopping the motion, but I will be abstaining from this, from 10F, as a member of the Moravian College Board of Trustees. I was going to abstain from 10F, but
unfortunately, where we are now, we'll have to, all three of them are together, so you'll have to pull yourself from all three.
I will pull myself from all three.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Clerk, would please
need to read them.
Yes, thank you. Read resolutions.
Certificates of appropriateness are hereby granted for 444 Main Street to install exterior lighting and a roof screen, 14 East Market Street to install a fence in the rear yard, 33 West Walnut Street to install wayfinding signs. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Gramsci-Smith. We need another sponsor.
I'll sponsor.
And second by Mr. Callahan.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry for the miscommunication, Mr. Reynolds. If the clerk would please call the roll on resolution 10F through 10H.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. DeGrom?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Abstain.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 6-0 with one abstention. Resolution 10I.
A certificate of appropriateness is hereby granted for 251 East Church Street to install a wooden fence and wooden gate with two fence posts. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Reynolds and Ms. Cramsey Smith.
Discussion? Dr. Benward?
So I'm the one who requested that this be stayed for a little while, and it's back. I did take some time to talk to a number of different people and do my own research, and I also had some help from Ms. Heller within the planning department. And this is clearly a difficult situation. City Council is an unwieldy tool for solving these types of programs. I do think it highlighted some gaps in our own fencing ordinance, but I think what I really came down to was the process. If this house had not been in the historic district, the normal thing that would have happened would a fencing application would have been put before the code enforcement officer, who would have said yay or nay, and then it would have just kind of tumbled into whatever legal discourse was necessary. However, because this is in the historic district, it goes before HARB. It went before HARB once and was declined. It went before HARB again, and it was passed on a very narrow vote. And I did speak with HARB members, and I think when I just look at the end of the day, you know, what are we doing here? I think basically when you buy a house in a historic district, this is what you get. You get HARB and you get City Council voting on whether or not they think what you're asking for is appropriate. And after weighing all the pros and cons and looking at the fence itself and any solutions that were put forward and then rejected, I do not feel that this is an appropriate way to solve this problem, and I will be voting no tonight.
Any other discussion from members of council? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Nay.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 5-2. New business?
I have a question.
You had an opportunity to comment at the beginning of the meeting under public comment on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on.
Lynn, I misunderstood. I thought in first reading the agenda that we were on tabled items. So I'm...
That was listed as a vote this evening. So that was at the beginning of the meeting, anyone's opportunity to speak on any resolution or ordinance to be voted on. In the previous meeting last month, members of council had questions for applicants. And that was why we had a very unusual discussion that we typically don't get into for this type of thing. So that, at the beginning of the meeting, was an opportunity for anyone to make comments to council.
I'm not sure that we, not being always part of the city understanding of the process, I wish that we could go back and provide opportunity for Mr. Alt and myself to comment. This is a, I have more facts to present. I tried my best to
I think all of council heard all the information they needed to make their decision, and if they had any other questions, they would have asked of you if they had any other thoughts or questions.
I'm so sorry to hear that, and I regret the decision to
I thought you may, but that was the majority of council's decision. Moving on with our agenda to new business, rescheduling our first city council meeting in November to November 6, 2019 at 7 p.m. Since Tuesday, November 5th is the general election. Accept the motion and second to reschedule the first city council meeting in November to Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. in Town Hall due to city council being closed on election day.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second by Mr. Callahan and Ms. Negron. Discussion? The clerk, please call the roll.
Ms. Cramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Negron?
Aye.
Mr. Reynolds?
Aye.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Mr. Colon?
Aye.
Mr. Waldron?
Aye. Passes 7-0. The first city council meeting in November has been rescheduled to Wednesday, November 6th at 7 p.m. in Town Hall. Is there any other new business from members of council? Mr. Callahan?
I just have one quick item. Mike, do you have a moment? The discussion we had about moving the recycling center off of Ilksmore Road to another site, any movement on that?
Yeah, actually, we did finish developing the concept plan and estimated cost, and I'll forward that to you shortly.
Thank you.
Any other new business? This meeting is adjourned.